doctors. We told you this was coming. This is not even including all the doctors that may quit because of this health care bill. And trust me, they're lining up to do so. This health care bill doesn't deal with the problem of costs. Everyone forgets that supply and demand actually means something. You want to lower the cost? Well, there are many ways to do it, but also increasing the supply of doctors might help as well. Watchdog on WallStreet.com.
With building science evolving at an extraordinary pace, the time has come to go green. Green Energy Home Improvement will help you save on energy costs year-round. They specialize in addressing the energy needs of your home by offering expertise in air sealing, draft control, replacement windows, roofs, and seamless gutters, as well as wall and attic insulation. Contact Rich Baer and receive your free home estimate. Call 1-800-377-0364 or visit ge-hi.com and discover the science behind the solution.
Join me, Chris Finlan, on Money Matters Midday, weekdays, 11 to 2 on the Money Matters Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. 34 minutes past the hour of 3 o'clock here on the afternoon edition of Money Matters. Of course, TGIF, again, I try to say that as many times as I can. Hopefully everyone had a great week and your day went well. And you're ready to do some exciting stuff over the weekend, whether it's with your family, your friends. Hopefully it's a great opportunity for everybody to just relax for a little bit as we get ourselves really financially fit here, especially this month being Financial Literacy Month. So our next guest here in studio with us, Ms. Denise Murphy. She's a partner with Rubin and Rudman down in Boston. Her specialty is in employment law.
That's right.
I almost read the word education. Now, is this a big when we talk? First of all, welcome to the afternoon edition of Money Matters. Nice to have you with us.
Thanks, Scotty. I'm glad to be here.
Now, when we talk about these employment laws, is it a big deal? Especially when I think about a lot of the small business issues that we currently hear a lot about, the struggles that small businesses have, the idea that even some people are trying to take some opportunities to get themselves into opening their own business. When we think about the employment laws, what employment laws actually impact small businesses that they should be aware of and know almost like second nature to make sure they're protecting themselves?
I think first and foremost, the most important law, employment law related law, is the wage and hour law.
Okay.
That is the most important law that you can do because it's strict liability. What happens is if you run afoul of any of the Massachusetts or federal wage and hour laws,
yeah,
you are automatically liable. And in Massachusetts, the law changed recently, and not only can you be liable for that actual penalty or civil money penalty,
yeah,
but you can get up to the employee can get up to treble damages three times.
Really?
Yes. It's automatically treble damages.
Okay. So if there's an employer out there that decides for some reason that he doesn't like the minimum wage and he wants to pay someone a different wage, it's less than that? Is that what we're talking about?
If you decide for some arbitrary reason that you are not going to pay the minimum wage, you can be held liable for every violation that you decide for. Not only that, but this is actually something that most employers don't understand, is that not only is there civil money penalties, actual damages, civil money penalties, attorney's fees, but there's also a criminal component. The attorney general has the power to actually go after the decision maker.
Really?
Yes, criminally.
Wow. The head boss.
The head boss. Not necessarily the head boss, the decision maker, the person who makes the decision not to pay overtime or pay minimum wage.
Are there a lot of employment laws that that maybe get past us or that we don't know? Because I know that they send out, of course, we get those things that we're supposed to hang on the walls to make sure we know all the rules and all the regulations. Do people follow those generally, or are we not doing a great job at understanding and following the employment laws as they are stated today?
It's a mixed bag. I think it's fair to say that employers do their best to try to comply, but there, as you just suggested, there are so many laws to keep abreast of.
Yeah.
So it's really good to have somebody come in and just look over your policies and procedures and your practices, actually do.
Is that what you do for people? Do you actually go out and not just, of course, sit here and speak about it on the radio? Do you actually go out and help them actually make sure that the components that should be in place are in place, and especially in an effort to protect that small business owner?
Yes, because that is the single most important tool that anyone can do, risk management.
Yeah.
You know, just accept the fact that you have to comply with the law. Do it once. Don't pretend that it doesn't exist.
Yeah.
For example, Massachusetts has a sexual harassment law.
Yeah.
And the law requires that you have a policy. And the policy has to do some very specific things.
Like
you can
what?
You have to tell your employees what, if you have six or more employees, this is what you have to do. You have to tell your employees what sexual harassment is.
Okay.
You have to say it in writing. You have to have a policy. And in that policy, it has to define what sexual harassment is.
Now, can that differ from, and I know this might sound like a silly question, but.
No, I was about to ask the same question myself. Go ahead.
Do they differ from employee to from employer to employer, the rules of sexual harassment, or no?
Not at all. No, if you have six or more employees,
yeah,
the rules are the same. This policy says you have to have it. You have to say what sexual harassment is. You have to describe who in your organization the reports of sexual harassment can be made to, and you have to identify that person. You can't just say the head of human resources. You have to identify that person and give a way to contact that person.
And that's the law.
That's the law.
All right. So can we talk about this for? Do you know how that's defined, sexual harassment, or no? Do you
sure,
know that
there's two different types of sexual harassment?
Well, let's talk about this, because I'll be honest with you, I don't know how many businesses are doing this per law, if you will, that are actually making sure that this is done, and I don't know that many of us know how sexual harassment is defined anymore. So that might be just a good learning lesson for all of us to know as employees and employers about that rule.
I'd be glad to. First of all, this policy that you have to have in place has to be posted. In that policy, not only do you have to define what sexual harassment is, not only do you have to explain to your employees to whom they go to report it, but you also have to, if they feel as if that internal mechanism is insufficient, you also have to tell them in writing where they can go to sue you.
Wow.
You have to tell them where the address is and the contact information for the Massachusetts Commission Against Discrimination and the Equal Employment Agency.
Wow. It's that serious. I know you can see my face. I had no idea that it was like that.
Well, it makes sense. I'm a defense lawyer, and I have to tell you, I've been doing this for 22 years. It makes sense to do that because sexual harassment happens.
Yeah, yeah.
And there are people who have... who need to know what their rights and responsibilities
are. Right, because it can become very tricky, of course. So that's what I'm curious if you can define for us. I really want to hear the definition, because I'm curious in whether I know it to be what you're about to tell me it is.
Okay. So there are two different types of sexual harassment.
All right, give them to us.
One is the type that most people know about. It's called the quid pro quo sexual harassment type.
You give me sex, I give you work.
You got it.
Yes.
That's exactly
easy
it.
One. And that's
easy.
One I think that most of us get. We all kind of understand that one. But then it gets a little tricky, and that's what I'm curious about.
The tricky kind is a hostile work environment, and that is a sexually hostile work environment. And this is the biggest confusion part. I get more people calling and saying, well, my boss yelled at me, and he's harassing me. He wants me to be in at work at 9, and he's watching my hours, and that's... not sexual harassment.
Right.
That may be.
That's just
the
boss being the boss.
As long as he's an equal opportunity ogre.
Right.
You can be an ogre.
Right. Right.
And, you know, that's not harassment.
Right.
Harassment has to be based upon your protected class status.
Okay.
And a sexual harassment law is analogous to the general anti-discrimination law.
Yeah.
And if you have a policy that which you are required to do in Massachusetts, explaining sexual harassment in the systems, the MCAD and the EOC strongly suggest that you expand that to include all types of discrimination based upon your protected class status.
Okay.
You are protected. Every one of us is in a protected class.
Yeah.
It's by your age.
Your
race, your ethnic background, your religion,
your sexual orientation,
your gender, your marital status.
Yeah, your age.
Right. And you know what the age is?
80.
40.
Oh, okay.
You know, most people, you know, people give other people, not that I'm one of them, who are over 40, a hard time when they turn 40. You get over the hill parties. I say you get a protected class party because you have enhanced rights. And there are responsibilities that go with it.
But be that as it may, whether people agree or disagree, when we think about small businesses or businesses in general, that's a very, very big one that I would hope to think that businesses are taking very seriously, because that is one that could really make or break someone's a person, if you will, their mental peace, if you're the person that's being harassed. And then if you're the boss or the company itself, it could certainly hurt you if it's going on in your business and you don't have the proper things in place to deal with it. That could get very, very nasty.
Well, that's exactly right. These are completely different types of claims. This is not a tort. This isn't a contract where you didn't get a delivery of a bunch of widgets.
Right.
You know, you take it from the victim's point of view.
Yeah.
And the victim is someone who is demoralized.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
they go automatically, in my experience, they go into a victim's mentality.
Yeah.
But think about it from the other perspective. Think about when you've been unfairly accused. Someone is attacking your moral fiber.
Exactly, right.
And so you do take it differently, and the people's reactions to it are different.
So that's why it's your suggestion, too, that the law that's in place should be followed if it's followed very closely, the chances of ambiguity or the chances of he said, she said, it gets eliminated, right?
No. There'll always be he said,
she said. Well, but it at least lessens it.
And typically, quid pro quo sexual harassers are typically he said, she said situations.
Sure.
So this is what the law requires that you do. If anyone complains to you as an employer, a manager, a supervisor of sexual harassment, the first thing you have to do is you have to undertake an investigation.
Yeah.
You can't sweep it under the rug. You can't say, that is just Mike being Mike. You know, him, he doesn't mean it.
Yeah, Mike,
you
he know, loves the ladies.
He does.
And the dudes.
Isn't he so cute?
Yeah.
Can't do that.
Yeah.
You have to undertake an investigation. And I'm not saying you have to do this big, enormous blowout type
thing.
But
you have to take it seriously.
You have to take it seriously, and you have to talk to him. You have to talk to the person, the man or the woman who's bringing the claim.
Yeah.
And then you have to talk to witnesses.
Yeah. Yeah.
You have to investigate it, because the law doesn't really really care what you do with the person or how you resolve it. The law cares that you address it.
Such a touchy subject, because, you know, when you think of the dynamics that are injected into that with just people, it's such a dynamic issue when you talk about sexual harassment, because the comfort level. And when you talk about investigation, I think a lot of times it doesn't get done properly because people feel uncomfortable about it. And they have to ask you things that they don't want to ask you. I would never want to do it. I don't want to ask anyone's questions about that stuff. So I'll never be a suit. I'll never be a boss because I don't want to do that. Because it can be very tricky, and I think that that's where we miss the boat, is because of our comfort level. We don't take it as seriously as we should because we put our own comfort level injected in there.
In that situation, what I always suggest to my clients is that they think of the other person. And your job as an investigator is to be neutral.
Yeah.
You're not making any judgments. Yeah. As an investigator, you're just getting the facts. Think of remember the old Dragnet show?
Just facts, Jack.
That's the facts.
That's right. All right. I'm curious that you were talking about the class of citizen. Who can sue under state and federal anti-discrimination laws? All those people that you mentioned? And does that include all of us?
Every one of us at some time or another is in a protected class. You can only sue under these statutes if you are being discriminated against because of that particular class.
Yeah. What do you normally hear, though, as the top discrimination issues? Like, when people call you, what are their, besides the boss yelling at them, what are the serious ones that small and large businesses can learn from you, from your expertise and experience, that we can watch out and do better? Kind of like what we're talking about, the sexual harassment piece. Any other kind of items that we
Gender's huge. Age is enormous.
Why?
Because there's a lot.
You can't tell anymore hardly who's what age either. That makes it difficult.
Well, when you get somebody who says that they want to bring in new blood, you know, there's ageist terms.
Yeah.
You gotta take so long to do that. You know, maybe if your hands weren't so arthritic.
Yeah.
Or, you know.
Yes. So our speech, the comments that we make, can get us into trouble.
That can create a hostile work environment.
And there was a time when there were a lot of people with pensions also, where, you know, if you were forced out, you know, you might not get to the end. You might not get your full pension. So it would be economically beneficial for the boss to move the older folks out?
Well, there's actually a law that came to address that. It's called the Older Workers Benefit Protection Act.
Mm-hmm.
And if you are going to give anyone benefits who's over 40, that's another one of the advantages of being over 40. If you've got to give them any type of a severance or anything that will affect their benefits, you have to give them 21 days to consider the agreement. You have to give them a written agreement. And in this written agreement, it says you have 21 days to consider this. You have the right to consult an attorney. And you have 7 days after you execute this in which to revoke it, and then you can sue.
Wow. Who knew? Well,
me.
She knew.
Denise knew.
Denise knew, didn't she?
I didn't know.
Hey, one more question I have that's really important, because as we see a lot of businesses, a lot of bosses really kind of working the employees that they have because of the economic situation. They're not looking to go out and just hire people just yet. They want to make sure that they're on sound footing financially. What happens when an employer requires or maybe doesn't pay someone overtime? What's the requirement to pay someone overtime, and to whom? At what point should people know that there's an expectation that they should be getting paid overtime because they're working a lot?
If you are an hourly employee, a non-exempt employee, and you work in excess of 40 hours, you have to get paid overtime.
Okay.
That's the law.
So that's it. So if you're an hourly person and you're working over 40 hours, once you get over 40...
Anything over that is time and a half.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean... It actually has to be 40 hours worked.
Yeah.
So if you get a half-hour lunch break until you get to that, and you actually only work 37.5,
yep,
you get paid straight time until 40 hours, and then at 40 hours, it's time and a half.
All right. Is that a big problem out there? Do you hear a lot of complaints from people calling you that their boss maybe didn't pay them overtime, or that's an issue? Or
well, I typically represent the other side. I defend the companies.
Oh, okay. Yep. So do you find that they're defending themselves from from people
what I
accusing
find
them of?
Is a lot of employers don't understand how to classify their employees
right.
properly.
And that's why I'm curious of on either side, because I think that there's a lot of hiccups, with all due respect. A lot of this, I don't necessarily think that it's people doing business badly. I just think that we don't know the rules.
You don't.
We don't understand them. There's so many damn rules, we don't know them all.
They keep changing,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, they
which
do
really
keep changing.
Which is actually kind of good, because I have kids I need to send to school.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
These rules do change. And,
yeah.
But the changes... People do tend to ignore some changes.
Sure, because sometimes we think they're silly. But for example?
For example, the changes of categorization. For years, people would categorize administrative assistants as salaried employees.
Yeah.
1994, the law changed.
Really? And yeah. what's the law state now?
The law said that they're hourly employees.
Okay.
Unless they're very specific. They're very specific exemptions. If you are a true executive, if you have decision-making authority,
yeah,
if you supervise two or more people, if you're an outside salesperson, if you're a professional, very specific types of categories.
Yeah.
But if you don't have decision-making authority, if you don't have that type of autonomy,
then you're hourly.
Then you're hourly.
Yeah, that makes sense, right? Yeah. Hey, we're going to take a quick break, but I have one final question for you that's a doozy, and it has to do with independent contractors. I know the IRS is watching very intently, really, looking for people that's doing it incorrectly. I want to ask you what the rule is, what the law is, and what small businesses should be doing about those independent contractors. Stay tuned, everybody. We're here, the afternoon edition of Money Matters, talking to Denise Murphy from Rubin and Rudman. She's a partner there right down on Rose Wharf in Boston. So stay tuned. We'll have a couple more questions for you on the other side of this break. Grab a pen and piece of paper also if you could, because if you're a small business owner or a large business owner, I want to make sure you have her number, because it sounds like you might want to double check and make sure that you know all the rules. Stay tuned. We'll be back.
This is WBNW AM 1120.
Weeds and crabgrass are taking over your lawn. Traditional lawn weed killers control either lawn weeds or crabgrass, but not both. Why do half the job when there's Bayer Advanced all-in-one lawn weed and crabgrass killer? It kills lawn weeds plus crabgrass without harming your lawn. Just hook to the hose and go. Nothing's faster or easier. And now it's rainproof in 1 hour. Bayer Advanced. Better science, better results. BayerAdvanced.com.
Sterling Financial is committed to creating and executing quick, appropriate investment plans that make sense to you. In fact, the most important asset Sterling Financial provides is personalized service, a way of making the investment process easy and enjoyable. To speak with Jonathan Price or any member of the Sterling Financial team, call 617-558-3213. That's 617-558-3213 or online at www.sterlingfg.com.
This is Barry Armstrong, host of Money Matters, inviting you to join me every Thursday on Fox 25. I'll be discussing the latest hot topics in the personal finance industry. Tune in only on Fox 25.
Money Matters Morning Edition, weekdays from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. Join me, Joe Mandricotti, and co-host Rich Dingus every Tuesday from 8 to 9 o'clock. North Point Mortgage, 508-347-0010. 508-347-0010.
One of the issues that they're experiencing right now is there are a lot of banks who have just pulled back so much that they're not even out there making money available to anyone. Some of those bigger players that were given all the TARP money have been just hoarding it on the book and not going out and actually making it available.
Money Matters Morning Edition, Monday through Friday, 6 a.m. to 9 a.m., only on the Money Matters Radio Network affiliate, WESO AM 970.
You can reach us there at 508-347-0010, 508-347-0010. You can also find our other contact info on the web at www.trynorthpoint.com.
And now, another reason to switch to Geico.
Every month, we get lots of letters telling us how much folks like Geico's claim service. And I quote, "The adjuster assigned to my claim was incredible. He walked me through everything." Then there's this one. Geico.com is very useful and lets you track your claims. And this. "I filed a claim at 4:15 on Thursday afternoon, and my car was in the shop at 10 a.m. on Friday." And my personal favorite, "Easy Squeezy Lemon Peasy."
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com or call 1-800-947-AUTO.
Join me, Chris Finlan, Monday through Friday, 11 to 2 on the Money Matters Midday Show, immediately following Money Matters with Barry Armstrong on the Money Matters Radio Network.
Welcome back, everybody. 54 minutes past the hour here, just finishing up with Denise Murphy, a partner with Rubin and Rudman. Down in Boston, talking to her really about very, very important subjects when we talk about the employment laws and how it impacts small businesses, large businesses, but of course even us employees of those small and large businesses. I'm curious about this last question in my head, and that's, can an employer avoid paying overtime or any of that when we talk about those independent contractors? Is that okay to even have people listed as independent contractors in your business, or should they be listed as employees?
You can certainly list people as independent contractors if they are truly independent contractors. In Massachusetts, there's virtually no one is an independent contractor.
Yeah.
It's a familiar mechanism that employers did to avoid having to pay taxes and benefits. But the Lawrence, Massachusetts changed a
few
years ago.
When did that change? Okay. A few years ago,
and the independent contractor law has a three-point test. One is that the person has to be autonomous. The other is that they have to be doing something outside the ordinary course of the business.
Not like somebody that you would hire or that it would make sense that you would hire.
Right.
Right.
To do your business.
Right.
For example, and it's something that we had briefly talked about, somebody who comes into a radio station and is a radio personality or does production. That's something that's part and parcel of your
of the business.
Right.
So to hire an independent contractor seems contrary to what, I mean,
it is probably a violation of the Massachusetts independent contractor law. And a better analogy is what is not an independent contractor. A radio station has a cleaning service come in. They clean. They don't do radio products.
But they told me I was supposed to do it because I'm black. I'm just joking. I'm joking. We don't want to get anyone sued. I'm kidding.
Can I give you my card? I can make an exception.
I knew you'd say that. Well, thank you very much for the information you provide. I'm hoping that it's helpful to businesses out there, only to the extent of one really important thing. that if they don't realize that they might want to double check and triple check these items, they weren't paying attention.
It makes more sense to address it now than to address it when somebody sues you.
Yeah. I'd like to give out your number in case any small business owners or large business owners want to call you just to maybe have you come by and really make sure that they know what you know as a lawyer who might have to defend them one day. All right.
Thank you.
Denise Murphy, everybody. 617. She's going to shoot me. 617-330-7123. Partner with Rubin and Rudman. Denise Murphy, again, 617-330-7123. A great attorney, of course, focusing really on employment law. So for all you small and large business owners, I would certainly suggest if you've been paying attention and listening, I would certainly suggest it would behoove you to reach out to her and make sure that you know the rules, because it could cost you big time, especially in this rough economy. Wouldn't be good. Thank you very much, Denise.
Thank you very much.
All right, right now we're about to go into halftime. Our halftime's just coming around the corner. So here's Adam Janess with our halftime story.
Denise, I think you might want to go to Iran after you hear this story, because there's quite a bit of business out there for you, I think. Over in Iran, there's a cleric, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce his name. We're just going to call him H. He's claiming that promiscuous women are responsible for the series of earthquakes that have been happening all over the world.
Really?
He said, quote, "Many women do not dress modestly. They lead young men astray, corrupt their chastity, and spread adultery in society, which increases earthquakes." Women in the Islamic Republic are required by law to cover from head to toe, but H says that an increase in young women flaunting the law, not the fact that Tehran sits on hundreds of fault lines, is risking the lives of the city's 12 million inhabitants. But there's a single woman, Jennifer McCrate, who has set out on a mission to prove him wrong. She launched, quote, the Boobquake Facebook page.
Wow.
Yes. 21,000 women have joined. And on this coming Monday, the 26th, all of these women are going to show as much cleavage as they possibly can.
Wow.
Next Monday, and they're going to have a Boobquake, and they're going to prove to Big H that promiscuous women do not cause earthquakes, but in fact, Tehran is sitting on fault lines.
Wow.
There's a natural cause to this. So, over in Iran, promiscuous women cause earthquakes.
A boob quake marathon. Boob quake on Monday. Starting on Monday. All right, everyone, stay tuned, everybody. When we get back, Eric Fenimore in the house with us here. Don't touch the dial. The afternoon edition of Money Matters. We'll be right back.
Now's the time to keep ants out of your house. And each ding you hear is Amdro Ant Block doing just that, killing another ant before it ever gets inside. Just sprinkle Amdro Ant Block around the perimeter of your home and it kills ants outside so they can't come in. Ant after ant, house after house. Ant Block is a bait ants think is food, so they eat it and die, including the queen. Amdro Ant Block, the most effective home perimeter ant bait, even works on carpenter ants. Find out why Ant Block is better at baitisbetter.com.
You're listening to the Money Matters Radio Network, WBNW AM 1120 Concord Boston, WPLM 1390 Plymouth, and WESO 970 Southbridge.
The sea salts of the world vary in color, taste, and intensity. Now Campbell's has found one that tops them all. It's naturally flavorful. Adding it helps us use less salt than before in Campbell's tomato soup. That famous, familiar flavor, as delicious as ever, now with less salt. Thanks to a very special sea salt in Campbell's tomato soup.
So many, many reasons it's so good.
Who's ready to hear some fun facts about Geico? All right, let's give it a go, shall we? First, over 3 million drivers switched to Geico last year. Second, Geico received a customer satisfaction rate of 97%. Third, Geico has been providing car insurance for over 70 years.
Whoa, hold up a tick. These aren't fun facts at all. These are financially sound facts. We've been duped.
Geico. 15 minutes could save you hundreds on car insurance.